Hello there, this is Mark, your fat friend from the Fat and Black Connection, and I'm here to tell you about Anchor. If you haven't heard about it, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many other services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Do me a favor and go download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started on your very own. A good day, everyone. I am Mark, your fat friend.
And I'm James, your black friend.
And this is the Fat and Black Connection,
where we talk about anything and everything. Well, you know, of course, if it's interesting to us.
Absolutely. And you might notice, if you're watching live with us right now on screen, you might notice some little differences. James, tell us what's going on.
Well, I'm having to use my tablet today. I don't know what's going on with my laptop. I've restarted it, turned it off, turned it back on, and we're seeing.
So the audio today on your end is going to be garbage because you're using a tablet microphone. And the video, it's not really any worse than usual, and definitely I will say today you do look like you need a makeup artist. I don't know if that's the camera or
no. I just need a makeup artist, man.
Because did you sleep at all in the last month?
Yeah, I know these bags are getting pretty bad, man. No, I've been sleeping, but I finally got my bed.
What exactly have you been sleeping on?
I was sleeping on my mattress, but I was on the floor. I was waiting on my bed. It was supposed to be here at the beginning, or it was supposed to be here by the end of October. It just got here last Wednesday.
Wow. That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, as always, I want to make sure that I call out the fact that up here in that top corner, those of you watching, you'll see there's a little QR code. Please give that a scan. That'll take you over to our podcast page so that if you miss anything today during the live broadcast, you can go back and listen to anything you might have missed. It also gives you the ability to, you know, choose your platform. You don't have to use Anchor, which is where we currently broadcast through. You can go to Apple, Google, Breaker, just about anywhere that you can think of.
So
that's absolutely available, Spotify. Additionally, as you well know, if you are watching this broadcast, either live or after the fact, we're everywhere. We're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, we're on Twitch, Twitter. So by all means, you know, give us a subscribe, give us a like, follow, whatever, depending on what platform you're on, to make sure you're able to stay up to date with us. We post things all the time. We go live randomly here and there to talk about different things. So make sure you do subscribe and follow on all the different platforms so that you can stay up to date. So first and foremost, James, I wanted to share a story from last week. You know, it's always fun to bring in some of our own personal life to the show. I think I've heard, that's what we want to see. Thank you, James.
No, I'm just trying to, I'm literally trying to see if I can get on my laptop right now.
James is trying to show us his man boobs. We appreciate that. I think it's always great when we have the opportunity to bring in an interesting story that, you know, either one of us were involved with or both of us. Of course, those are the best. But this last week, I got together with some friends for dinner. And, you know, these are some coworker friends, if you will. And we hadn't gotten together in months. You know, it's been difficult because of COVID and, you know, all of that kind of fun stuff. So we decided, for whatever reason, on Friday night, let's go out on a Friday night to a brewery. That's smart. Right. So there is a new brewery here in Reno that opened up. It's called Shush Boom Brewing Company. And
where is this at?
This is in South Reno, off of Virginia. Yeah, I would say the closest major intersection to where they're located is South Virginia and DeMonte. So if you're in that area, they're just north of there. So first and foremost, I wanted to talk about their beers before I go into the story of our experience, because I think they are an interesting brewery. And I had two beers while I was there, and both of which were very good. So I thought that was important to share.
Looks like hops on the screen there. It looks like those trees are supposed to be like hops.
Hey, you're pretty observant there. I think that might have been what they were going for. So
yeah, go ahead.
So I want to take a minute and just read through their beers and and, you know, how they describe them and kind of discuss what you think based off of their description. So first up, and I'm not going to tell you which ones I had until after we read through these. So first up is the Double Eject Imperial IPA. It's an 8.5% alcohol. It is the description is high speed fruit down the chute, brought to an abrupt halt by a wild lip wall of bitterness. Passion fruit, white muscat grapes, tangelo, and white gummy bears. As Jamil Zanisheriff from Heretic Brewing put it, the whole candy store. Simcoe, Idaho 7, Amarillo, Strata, Centennial, Chinook, and Magnum Hops. What do you think? I know you're a fan of the IPAs.
No, I am definitely not. Like that sounds tough, especially if it's a, what'd you say, a double imperial?
Yes, double imperial.
Yeah. I'm not touching that one.
Yeah, I, as you know, I'm not a fan of the IPAs, so I did not touch this one. But I do think their description makes it sound interesting, especially the white gummy bears.
Yeah, the description sounds amazing. It's just that, especially with that, what they said about the bitter, the like abrupt bitter. I was like, no.
Yes, yes, indeed, the bitterness. So next up is a Irish Catholic Gilt Irish Red. So it's Irish Catholic Gilt Irish Red. It's a 6.7% alcohol. The description is sinfully smooth mouthfeel. Tempting aromas of dark rye bread, toffee, and medjool date lead to caramel. Communion wafer and dried red delicious apple. Irish malt, chocolate rye, caramel malts, and roasted barley.
So Catholic.
Right? Right? What do you think about that descriptor? It's an Irish red.
Yeah, no, I mean, if it's anything, well, I'm sure it's probably, it sounds a little bit better, but I'm not a huge fan of it, but the Jeremiah red that they have at BJ's, I've had that a number of times, and that's actually pretty good. So I think the red is something I'd definitely be down to try.
Yeah, and the Red Trolley Ale, which I drank recently on this show, is in the same kind of style. So definitely caught my attention. Next up is the Yavol Northern German Pilsner. This is a 5.3% alcohol. It's made with 100% German malt, the finest noble hops, and a traditional German Dekonchen process. This light and crisp Pilsner showcases the higher sulfate water of the north, which accentuates the noble hop aroma and bitterness. Floral, light, and crisp up front, this beer finishes clean and dry, preparing you for the next sip. Tetnanag and Hallotu Mittelfru hops. Bear in mind that Shushboom is a German beer company, obviously. So,
right.
Yeah. So, what do you think of the Yavol Northern German Pilsner?
I don't know. I'm not giving. See, that's the one. That's definitely one I'd. This place needs to have flights for sure. Like,
which they do. They do.
Okay. Because that's. I mean, like, even if it's a flight, I would even give. I would even give that first one you talked, the double Imperial IPA. I'd even give that a shot if it. I mean, because, you know, in a flight, it's just small one. So.
Yeah, they do flights. They also do small tastes. So if you want to get, I think it's like maybe 4 ounces or 6 ounces.
Yeah, just to like, kind of get a taste of, just kind of get a taste of it.
Yeah, they do that as well as flights. So yeah, to me, go ahead.
Go. No, you go.
I was just going to say, to me, the, you know, listening and seeing the German Pilsner sounds like a standard Pilsner with some extra hoppiness.
Yeah.
To make it a little bit more bitter. So I'm not, you know, reading the description and everything. I at the time, I wasn't sure if I was interested just based on those extra, when you call out the hops, that is always disconcerting to me.
Right. So, yeah. So that's what I'm saying too. But I mean, definitely that's one I would, yeah. If I could try it, get a little sip of it real quick, I maybe give it a try. Okay. No, not if I could get a sip, then I'd definitely give it a try.
Okay. Next one up is called the Berry Bum Marienberry Wheat Ale. It's a 6% alcohol. This one's got a very short descriptor. The Cabernet of Berries. This seasonal fruited ale marries Oregon Marienberries with soft winter white wheat to a dry, juicy, velvety finish.
Mm. That actually sounds pretty darn good.
I agree. I think it's pretty good. It's short, sweet. And I think the title does it very well. Berry Bum Marienberry Wheat Ale. So similarly, next one up is the Apricot Core Shot Imperial Cream Ale. 7.4% alcohol. Plummet into a bottomless pit of soft, sun-ripened apricots. It's smooth. It's creamy. It's apricot extreme. What do you think?
I like it. I've had like some apricot drinks, beers before. They've always been pretty good. So I definitely, again, that's probably one I'd want to sip of first before I bought a pint or whatever.
Okay. Next up is the Tips Up Hazy IPA, 7.9% alcohol. This soft and supple hazy will perk your senses with aromas of peach candy and clementine, followed by guava, pineapple, and passion fruit on the tongue, El Dorado, Galaxy, Nelson Solvin, and Citra hops.
Mm.
Dealing with IPA, of course.
Yeah, I mean, like, that doesn't sound, I don't know, because, like, the other one is like that, it's like with the bite. This one doesn't sound like it has it. And even the hops are, it's citrus hops. So I'm thinking that it might be a little bit more palatable for those that don't like, you know, that don't like that strong hoppiness. Cause it seems like the fruit will takes most of that. But I don't know. That actually sounds pretty good, man.
Yeah. I would, for an IPA, I think this is one that I would be willing to try based on its description.
Exactly. Yeah. Off the description, that's definitely one I'd be like, oh, I'd give that a try.
This next one, when I read this, I thought it was hilarious. So hopefully you enjoy it as well. George Michael's Cream Imperial Cream Ale with Tahitian Vanilla Beans. 7.4% alcohol. Imperial Cream Ale with Tahitian Vanilla Beans, sensual vanilla, night blooming jasmine, and the bark of Jeffrey Pine will wake you up before you go. A hint of caramel, sweetness, and sweet white corn, creamy and smooth, feels like kissing a fool. Give it one more try. I want your sex. Golden Promise, flaked corn and oats, biscuit and honey malts, and grade A Tahitian Vanilla Beans.
That's grade A. That is great, eh? That is probably that is a great description. Throwing in the George Michael songs as well, so that's I'll give him that. That's good. Yeah. I don't know. I might give I'd be down to maybe give that one a sip.
And lastly, and so just to one thing I want to make sure I clarify is all of these that I've read, including this next one, are Shush Boom's own beers. They have many other beers on their menu that are mostly local or small breweries, but everything I've read so far are their actual beers. Lastly is the Dirty Lifty Amber. It's a 5.8% alcohol, a beautiful deep amber ale with a mullificated malt character of Caudrawi date, golden raisin, caramelized pecan, and dark toasted bread crust, historically brewed with ale yeast before the discovery of lager yeast. This alt or old brew is fermented at the lower end of ale yeast temperatures, then finished in our cold lagering vessel to create a clean malt forward beer with a smooth finish.
I like ambers, so that's probably one I'd be down to try.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, I will tell you what I did have. I had the Berry Bum Marionberry Wheat Ale. I thought it was delicious. To me, it was almost a dessert beer. I felt like
sweet?
There's definitely some sweetness there. Now, according to my wife, she tried it and she felt like she mostly tasted beer with a hint of fruit, where I thought it was the other way around. So I think it really depends on your palate.
Well, I mean, she also doesn't really drink that much, though, right?
No, she does. I wouldn't say she drinks much less than me. Then again, neither of us drink terribly much anymore. Right. You know, if we go back to my heyday, then yeah, I significantly drank a lot more than her. But I would say today we went out and she just drank off some of my beers to try them. Right. She wasn't interested in drinking. I wish she would have tried some stuff so that way I could speak to a little bit more, because I know she would have liked to try the IPAs. So at least I could have spoken to that. Other one that I had, just because I had to try it based on the name, was the Irish Catholic Guilt Irish Red.
Yeah.
And, I thought it was, again, delicious. It was a fantastic beer. I think I'm going to have to go back. Now I'm going to go into the story of the facility and all of that, because I think it does play in, because as far as I know, Shush Boom is not being sold locally aside from there. You can bring in growlers, of course, to take home, which is nice. And they're reasonably priced. I will tell you, like, a glass of beer, like one of their own, like a big one, was $8 for a tall. So reasonably priced for a local brewery. Yeah. The growlers, I think, it's a 32-ounce growler, was $16. So again, I think a very fair price.
If you bring, I'm sure they sell their own growlers, right?
They do sell growlers with their logo on it. Yes.
Yeah. So you could buy one there, and
but it does seem that you could also bring in your own if you have one. So
that's cool. If you can bring your own in, that's dope as well. So, I mean,
yeah. So ultimately my wife and I, we had gone to this facility, a couple weeks ago. We were going to go for lunch. And when we got there, I said, let me go in and check it out, 'cause we'd never been. And, you know, it's a brewery, so you don't know what necessarily you're going to get. You could you could get BJ's, where it's obviously a restaurant, or you could get, you know, a bar that has a couple tables. So I wanted to go in. Now, I will say this facility is super nice. It's really large. There's a lot of tables. Now, the thing to know is that it is first come, first serve seating, where there is no host or anything like that. So you got to go in and find your own table. And from what I could tell, to me, it looked more like kind of a sports bar brewery than it did like a family restaurant.
Okay. They had like TVs and everything on?
They had TVs. Again, the table set up. A lot of them were really close to the bar top. And the ones that weren't were, you know, big, like, you know, six foot, 8 foot tables with benches on either side. So it definitely felt like a spot. I felt like this is where I would go if I wanted to hang out with you or with friends, go watch football or something like that.
Yeah.
Also, from a food standpoint, there's a register and you walk up and you place your order and then you go sit at your table. So it's not like there's any servers or anything like that. And then once your food is ready, they call your name over the loudspeaker and you've got to go back to where the food is and they give it to you. and you go back to your table. So,
well,
so for just me and my wife and kid, I was like, ah, let's go somewhere else. I didn't feel like it was the most appropriate place to go have family lunch, right?
Right.
But for this Friday outing with friends, they had suggested it. Hey, let's go to Shush Boom. And I wanted to check it out anyways. And so we were like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
So I arrived early. I was the first one there. I worked from home that day, so I was the closest. And the place was packed. I got there at like 5:15. Place is packed. And again, with it being first come, first serve tables, you got to get a table, right? And unfortunately, I'm one person that's trying to hold a table for eight people.
No, oh, yeah, that's going to be tough.
How do I justify that? How do I say, oh, no, I need this table. Go away, go away. And I'm the only one there.
Right.
At least if I've got one, two, or three other people, I can probably throw some elbows and get a spot.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned because I don't want to be standing around for an hour waiting for people to get up. I will say it turns very quickly. It seems like a lot of people were going in there, sitting down, having food quickly. And I will say the service, the cook time and everything was really quick. So it did seem like tables were turning pretty quickly. People were coming in for their post-work beer and maybe, you know, something.
Little appetizer. You
know, little appetizer or something, and then going home. Yeah. So luckily we were able to get a table. I was able to get us a table. Jenny showed up. My wife showed up with my kid, and we were able to get a table. And we blocked off a section because we knew we were going to have at least another four people showing up. So we blocked off a table. Like, I put my coat down at one end. I put my bag down at another. She kind of did the same thing on the other side. We blocked it off, right? And, of course, there were people giving us dirty looks. But it's like, whatever. I was here first. Suck it up. So, finally, the rest of our party shows up. The place is really loud. So the long and short of this story is that if you want to go and yell throughout your entire meal, great place to go because it's super loud. If you want to go and you want to catch up with friends that you haven't seen in months, probably not the right call.
So it's one of those things is if you were to go probably like if I could talk, that'd be great. If you went maybe in the afternoon on like midweek, it might not be so bad. Like you could actually sit down and talk and stuff.
Sure, but, business lunch is that.
Yeah, but like on a Friday night, it doesn't sound like the business.
Yeah, I don't also know that going to a brewery is the best call for a business lunch. Just saying.
No, I'm not saying a business lunch. I'm saying like for me, for example, like I have Wednesdays off, right? So I have Tuesday and Wednesday off. So like if I were to go in, like if I had somebody that came into town or something and I'm like, hey, let's go check this spot out. You know, it's like a Wednesday afternoon, probably wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Then again, there wouldn't be any sports. So you'd just be sitting in a relatively probably quiet bar drinking in the middle of the afternoon. That's not the best look, James. So
I'm not saying about myself, bro.
I'm not judging. I'm not judging. You know, if you're an alcoholic, that's your problem. Let's look into getting you some help. So anyways, great brewery. I think I'm definitely looking forward to going back and trying some more of their beers. I think it, again, a cool spot to probably go and watch some sports, but definitely not a spot to go to catch up with friends or something. So, if you're in South Reno, check out Shush Boom Brewing. They're not paying us. This is me just having gone and experienced it and wanting to share that story with y'all.
Are they new?
Yes, they just opened end of last year. So they are new.
So I was trying. There was another brewery that I went to. It was like a brewery restaurant that I went to out there. Can't remember the name of it though. So it doesn't matter.
So speaking of sports, yay transition. Let's talk about championship weekend, shall we? In the NFL, I gotta say, and I do want to start on the LA San Francisco side because I think. We both nailed this. We both called LA.
No, you called LA.
Oh,
I thought the Niners were going to win.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, yes. I called LA and was right. And man, does it feel good to get this one right, especially when the Niners have been bracket busting my whole dang bracket. And it's nice to finally see the Niners show their true colors, and finally bow out. They should have a long time ago. You know, I was having this conversation with a friend. I was having this conversation on here as well. If my team was in the playoffs that I'm a fan of, which I'm a fan of the Titans and I'm a fan of the Ravens. Ravens didn't even make it. If right. I'm a fan of a team in the playoffs, I want them to go out right away. I don't want to have any false hope. So, you know, while I'm disappointed in the Tennessee Titans, I'm glad they went out in their first game, because if they made it to the championship and lost, I probably would have been upset. If they made it to the Super Bowl and lost, I probably would have been upset. So for all those Niner fans, I'm glad you had your hopes up for 3 weeks.
Time. You're telling me you'd much rather have your team lose early than late? Like, that makes no sense, bro.
Why? Why does that not make sense?
I'd want them to go as far as they can. Yes, it would suck if they got to. No, no, I'm saying it would suck if they get to the championship game and they lose.
No. You know, again, exactly. That's it, right?
But at the same time, I'd want them to continue.
Nobody remembers who lost the Super Bowl, and nobody remembers who lost the AFC NFC Championship. Nobody. So, as a fan, I would rather see my team lose early than lose later. I'm just saying that's me. I'm not saying you have to agree. I'm just saying, for all those ride or die San Francisco 49er fans, congratulations on losing the NFC Championship after having lost two Super Bowls in the last decade. It's a beautiful thing. And you know, especially considering one of those two Super Bowl losses were to my Baltimore Ravens. But I digress, and yay Rams, going to be the first team, because I guess this is a big deal according to you last week, going to be the first team to host not only the Super Bowl, but also the NFC Championship. I still don't know why that's a big deal. I don't care. I think that's...
it's never happened before.
Uh-huh.
That's just one of those things that, like Tampa Bay playing in their own stadium, that was the first time that it ever happened. But they didn't play the championship game there. So this is why the Rams playing the championship game at SoFi and then also hosting the Super Bowl, that's why it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. But moving over to the AFC side, and man, this game made me feel good too. I will recall back to last week that I did say that I thought the Bengals were going to show up and show out. I did say that I thought they would lose, but I thought it would be close, and I thought they would lose by 3. Man, I missed it by that much. Yeah. And it was the other way around, and in some sweet, sweet justice, the Kansas City Chiefs lose in overtime.
Well,
man, beautiful interception.
They also said that no team has ever won back-to-back overtime games.
And I guess that stayed to be true.
Yeah.
And I know you're disappointed. Kansas City was your pretty much ride or die for the AFC side.
Yeah.
And I know you're a big Patrick Mahomes fanboy. So, you know, I'm sorry for you. But
no,
again,
hey, listen,
wouldn't you have rather they lost in the first round than get all the way to here?
No, because the thing is, those were great games. Those are great. Like, that's what I don't like. Look, I'm not a fan. Like, I like Patrick Mahomes as a QB. I like the Chiefs. I have a number of friends that are Chiefs fans. I have friends that are fans of a bunch of different teams. So like the Chiefs, I enjoyed watching them play. And that's the thing, is that I didn't have a team. My team has been out since, you know, like beginning of the season, basically. but because I'm a Jacksonville fan, if people don't know, I think we've talked about it before, but whatever. So, like, for me, I just enjoy watching the playoffs. I would love watching wild cards. I love watching the playoffs. I love watching the Super Bowl. Like, those, the end of the season is my favorite part of the season. Like, so as you can see, the updated bracket. So I'm excited. I am excited to see this matchup. We haven't, this is pretty much a brand new matchup.
These two teams, I will say this, absolutely, based on their performances since the first game of Wild Card Weekend, Super Wild Card Weekend, they both deserve to be here. There are a lot of people around the country saying this is a garbage matchup, I don't care, blah, blah, blah. And fine, don't care, that's don't fine. Watch.
Yeah, but
I think this is going to be a fun one.
Yeah,
I will say, kind of interesting. I was talking to a friend yesterday, before the first numbers really started hitting for over under and all of that. And I had said that I figured the Rams were going to be probably a 3.5 point favorite, which came out to be true. Most of the sports books are giving the Bengals 3.5 points. I also said that I figured the over under was going to be somewhere around 49. And a half, and most sports books, that's right about where it is. I will tell you, as a bettor, and I have had some really bad games during this session.
Yes, you have.
But I will say right now, my picks today, that could change over the next 2 weeks, of course, based on if people get injured and practice and stuff. But as of right now, with the way these two teams played in the playoffs, and on Sunday, I am picking, even giving up the 3.5 points, I am picking the Los Angeles Rams to win the Super Bowl, and I'm going with the under of 49.5 points.
Oh, okay. Well, see, because that's why I'm actually pulling for the Bengals in this.
I think that's, again, I think the Bengals are a great team. I do think this is going to be a close game. I think it'll probably be less than 7.
I mean, here's the thing. L.A. has a lot of weapons. L.A. has a lot of weapons. But one of the things is that with the Bengals, it's just like they're too young to know better. They,
like, I think, like, they have the better defense. I will say that.
I heard a commentator say that. He said, like, the Bengals are, they're so young. They just don't know any better. They know that they don't know they're not supposed to be here. They don't know that they weren't supposed to win. So that's,
I don't know if Joey B feels that way.
No. This is what commentators are saying. I'm not saying that he feels this way at all. I think he absolutely believes in this team. He absolutely is like, you know what? I'm going to, like, for example, he got sacked 9 times against Tennessee. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they shouldn't have won that game, no. But he did, and he did not get flustered. Like, I've seen quarterbacks get hit once, you know, after they've been rolling, and they get flustered, and the whole game can go downhill from there.
Again, important to call out, a lot of the reason the Bengals won that Tennessee Titans game is because of their defense. And that's what I'm saying, is I think going into this Super Bowl, the Bengals have the better defense. I think the Rams have the better offense. And as we know, traditionally, defense wins Super Bowls.
Right.
I don't think that's going to be the case this year. And that's why, I am going with the Rams giving up 3.5 points. Now, James, you're saying you're pulling for the Bengals. So you think they're going – do you think – there's a difference between rooting for, but do you genuinely think the Bengals are going to win outright?
Listen, I personally feel they have a strong chance at winning this game.
In LA.
I think they have a strong chance.
Okay.
I think they have a strong chance.
So is that your final answer? You are saying the Bengals are going to win this game.
I'm saying I'm going with the Bengals to win the Super Bowl.
So you're saying not even with the spread, you're saying flat out, they're going to win.
Yes. Like, these, they, 31 years, haven't even made it to the, you know, hadn't made it to or won a championship.
Won a playoff game.
Won a playoff game. And they've won three. And so, yes. Wait, did they played the first one at home, right? They played against the Raiders at home?
Yes. No.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. They played at the Raiders at home, and then they were on the road for the last two games. So, mm-hmm. and they've been, I've been impressed. I believe Joe Burrow is a real deal.
Who they? So, okay.
I'm going with Joe. Now, like I said, LA has a lot of weapons. LA has a lot of weapons. And I had a couple of them throughout the season during fantasy, but I'm Joe Burrow. He's making a believer out of me, man.
And I don't know if you saw, did you happen to read any of my tweets as I live tweeted the Kansas City Chiefs Bengals game?
No. I was watching the game. I was watching it on my phone, so if I were to go off and see anything, it would basically shut the screen down. So I was pretty much glued to the
Thanks a lot. I'm glad that I was doing that for nothing. No,
I saw your Facebook post this morning that you put up, but
2 days after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing is like at the time I was busy watching the games. I was busy watching all those games. So
well, I was live tweeting. It was I've never live tweeted before, so that was interesting. And we did, you know, Fat and Black Connection. We did get some response from especially Chiefs Kingdom. I was using, you know, a lot of those hashtags, and it was interesting going back and rereading through some of my tweets. I was firmly, I believed that the Chiefs were going to win that game, even at the end of the second quarter. So the Bengals definitely were a comeback kid in that game, but
oh, yeah.
I don't think that they're going to have that same ability against the Rams. I think the Rams have a significantly better defense than the Chiefs did. And so, I think it's going to be under 49.5 points. What are you thinking there, James? Is it going to be a high scoring affair or low scoring affair?
Oh, I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to get 49.5 is high. So I definitely go under on that as well.
Okay. Well, those are our picks, folks. We're locking them in this week. You know, we may make changes next week based on the injuries, but you excited all about the Pro Bowl?
I mean, the only thing about the Pro Bowl is that it's here. So I want to try and find out where the skill challenges are going to be at.
That's on Thursday.
Yeah. Cause I mean, if it's, you know, somewhere nearby, I might try and swing by before, or at least like not like probably won't be able to see the challenges or whatnot, but cause of work. But at least kind of see where it's at, check it out a little bit, see if they have like, you know, maybe they have some merch or something out there.
Fair enough. I have no interest. I don't know if you saw, but Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, both who were elected to go to the Pro Bowl, have bowed out. They're calling it an injury, even though it's I think they just don't feel like playing, and especially Tom Brady, who officially announced his retirement. So I don't know if you saw, but I believe it's Patrick Mahomes and Kirk Cousins that are going into the Pro Bowl now to take their places.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. I don't care about the Pro Bowl. If it was after the Super Bowl, I might be more interested, but I've never.
We talked about that before. Like, I never really cared. I mean, like when they moved it, I kind of stopped caring because even like before when it was after the Super Bowl, there was a whole lead up. There was like the whole week leading up to the Pro Bowl that there was events. Now it's kind of like, here you go.
So following along with sports, something else that we don't generally talk about on this show much because it is kind of a guilty pleasure, but I did feel like this event is a good enough reason to talk about it because I do think it's pretty well known around, and that is the WWE Royal Rumble. where it for those of you that don't follow wrestling, it's a big event.
The road to WrestleMania, baby. To WrestleMania.
It is the second, probably the second largest event on the calendar of events for wrestling outside of WrestleMania. And usually there's usually some kind of star, you know, from Hollywood or something involved in some way. And this year we had Johnny Knoxville from Jackass that was known. We also had, that we didn't know going into the match, making an appearance, Bad Bunny.
Yeah. Hey, that kid, I don't know where this guy came from, but he's every time, like I remember when he showed up at last year's Royal Rumble and with Damian Priest and like jumped off the top rope or whatever. And I was like, yo, like what? And then he went to WrestleMania with Damian Priest and was hands down the best celebrity to come in and wrestle, like hands down, best one. And ever? To see him in the Rumble
ever?
Was like, whoa.
Are you saying better than Mr. T?
Yeah, bruh, way better than Mr. T.
I'm taking it back to Hulk Hogan days. For those of you that watched the show, you would have seen that from the women's Royal Rumble match, Rowdy Ronda Rousey made her return after almost 3 years.
Yeah.
And won the women's Royal Rumble. She did come in late into the match, so it's not like she was out there for a ton of time.
She came out, she was in the mid-20s. Yeah. So, I mean, she still had to do some work, but I was like, oh, cool, she's back. And so like I was okay with that, but I don't know. I wish Sasha Banks hadn't gone out so early, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and winning the men's Royal Rumble after losing the championship earlier in the evening, coming back late in the Rumble, very late in the Rumble, to win the Royal Rumble, Brock Lesnar. And I know that this upsets James. You're tired of this man, but so I do got to say, the current iteration of Brock Lesnar, I am enjoying. Paul Heyman betraying him earlier in the evening. I think Brock is becoming a little bit more palatable than he has been. But
he still has zero mic skills and no moveset.
Anyways, overall, I would rate this Royal Rumble compared to the last five or so. I would rank it pretty low. I don't think there was anything too exciting about it. I don't think there was the matches in between the Rumble matches weren't great.
The only match that I was really looking, I mean, there was only a couple matches I was looking forward to seeing. I was looking forward to seeing, like the headlining matches, like,
Roman there were only Seth. Three matches, four matches aside from the Rumbles. So,
yeah, I mean, well, like I'm saying, I wanted to see, of course, the championship match. So Roman and Seth, and then Brock and Bobby. That actually, it was nice to see Becky Lynch finally win a match cleanly. I will say, but I mean, that was kind of meh. Edge and Beth Phoenix, because they had never tagged before, so I was kind of interested in seeing that match. So
I feel like I got my money for free. Not free. I mean, you're paying for monthly subscription, but
the premium is free with my cable. So,
well, okay. Well, never mind then. Yeah. I don't know. I watched it live start to finish, and it was definitely more enjoyable than some of the other pay-per-views I've watched this in the last year. But I think as far as Royal Rumble is concerned, kind of a disappointment. So
yeah, a lot of times, especially at Rumbles, there's some, you know, like Ronda Rousey was probably like the only surprise in the women's. And like in the men's, the only real surprise there was Bad Bunny, like, because everybody else, I was like, all right, Like, I pretty much expected all them. I knew Johnny Knoxville was in it. I knew pretty much everybody was in it except Brock Lesnar showing up at the end, not having to do anything. It's like the same, like when he won Money in the Bank that one time. It was like, bro, you weren't even in the match. How are you going to come down at the end, climb the ladder, and claim the briefcase? Like, that makes zero sense to me.
I guess I am surprised that you're not sharing the fun story of you driving Molly Holly around since she showed up in the women's, but that's fine. We could save that for another time, I guess. So we're going to move into the rapid fire round of a couple different things that popped up over the week. And first up, we've got the menu hacks that McDonald's has made official by coming out and saying, hey, these things are out there. Now, what I do find somewhat disappointing about this is that you can't order these items directly. Like, you can say, hey, I want a crunchy double, but what they're actually going to give you is a 6-piece chicken nuggets with barbecue sauce and a double cheeseburger. They're not going to make it for you.
No, you have to make it yourself. That's what it says right there. Order by name, build by hand.
Yeah. So I think that's a little silly. It would be much more cool if I could say, hey, I want a surf and turf, and they give you the surf and turf.
Honestly, Mark, at this rate, those things don't, like, these look amazing. This stuff never comes out looking like this. So the fact of the matter is that it's going to be gross regardless.
And to be clear, the Land, Air, and Sea is more famously known as the McGangbang.
Yeah.
So I get why they didn't go with that, but if you're going to say it's menu hacks that were created by fans of the food and whatnot, let's be honest, that is the McGangbang. And it looks to me very gross. I've never actually seen one before, and now seeing it on screen, I'm like, that does not look appetizing at all.
No, I mean, like, there's actually two that I'm actually interested in. That's the hash brown McMuffin and the double crunch and the crunch double. Those are the only two that I'd be interested in trying. Now, I don't know, it, like, price wise, you're gonna have to basically pay for the nuggets are you paying for the nuggets and then the sandwich, and that's what
You're paying for both menu items, and they're going to give you the separate menu items, and then you build it yourself. So that's where,
not for both, the more of a value menu, like a, not a value menu price, but like a price that's, I don't know.
Sure. So, ultimately, the only one on there that I would probably actually do myself is the hash brown and sausage McMuffin, because that's the number two on the breakfast menu. You know, you just order a number two, boom, you've got it done. Yeah. I've never tried that. Many people commented that, you know, they've done that themselves before already. I don't know why I never thought about it. So
I never thought about it either. I like the hash brown on its own. So I was like, I would buy extra hash brown. Matter of fact,
I do as well. Yeah. So next time I go, I'm definitely going to try my sandwich with the hash brown on. So keeping in the vein of weird food items, if you will, posted earlier this week, we have the, hold on, where'd it go? There it is. Mountain Dew hard drinks. I guess these are going to be seltzers, kind of like White Claw and stuff. I don't know. So first and foremost, there is one that is not shown here that they did come out after the fact and say, we didn't forget about it. And that is the Baja. Made popular at Taco Bell.
I don't understand what everybody's obsession with Baja Blast is. I think that's like the grossest one of them all.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of Mountain Dew in general. I think I drank some in high school because you always heard it had the highest sugar content, but we also had Jolt and we had, you know, all of those other energy drinks.
Most of the people in theater drank Dr. Pepper anyway. So
I don't know. I'm not a fan of Mountain Dew. I will say, looking at this image, I was like, okay, watermelon, Watermelon? Maybe I might be down to give that a shot. So if you're watching live, you'll see that there's the cans with their logos. They've got the standard Mountain Dew. They've got the Mountain Dew Black Cherry and Mountain Dew Watermelon. As I said, they have confirmed Baja Blast. And the interesting piece on this is they're all zero sugar. So all the flavor is gone. That's lovely. What do you think, James? Are you going to try these?
I mean, the only one, I mean, I might give maybe like two out of the four, like maybe the watermelon and the black cherry, but those are about it. And the price better be good. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Don't get your hopes up on that. Moving on. So we talked about on our last episode, that Microsoft had purchased Activision Blizzard and what that kind of meant for the gaming field. And I guess PlayStation's way of trying to come out swinging was for them to purchase Bungie. Not as exciting here. James, what do you know about Bungie?
Like nothing. I don't like when we talked about it, I've heard of Bungie, but then you mentioned Halo and Destiny. I know Halo's huge. I know Destiny. When I first saw Destiny, I was like, "Oh, it's pretty dope," but I never actually played it. So, I mean,
well, and so really quickly to be clear, when I said Halo, what I meant was that Bungie was immensely involved with the Halo games back in the day. I think the last Halo game they were involved with was around 2014. So to be clear, Bungie has not been involved with Halo for quite a while. And I think that's part of what led them to Destiny. And so Destiny is what they're known for today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like I said, I don't know much about Bungie at all. So
yeah. And that is not surprising. Again, not a huge game company. So that's kind of my joke here. You know, Microsoft comes out and says, "Oh yeah, we're getting Blizzard Activision," which has huge ripples across the gaming industry. PlayStation a week later says, "Oh yeah, we're buying Bungie." Okay. Good for you. I guess not that great.
It might be some, I mean, there might be something in the works there that, you know, we're unaware of at this point in time, but maybe Bungie's, some of their stuff looks good. I mean, their stuff looks good. I just haven't played it. So I don't play a whole lot of games anyway. So.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then I guess this won't excite you. Officially being announced, from coming out of, EA and Respawn, no titles, but we do have confirmation on multiple upcoming Star Wars-based video games. We did get the confirmation that Jedi...
Fallen Order 2 is coming.
Yep, we have confirmation on Fallen Order 2. We also were told that a first-person shooter is coming. Not as excited about that. The Battlefront games have not been my favorite.
What was that other one that we talked about a couple months ago? Or like a month ago.
That one is still on the books. That's still coming. But also a strategy-based Star Wars game is coming in the near future.
RPG type?
So let me pull up the article, and I will read the description to you. Give me just a moment. If you could vamp for me.
Yeah, anyways. You know, we talked about what's his name? Tom Brady retiring. So good for him. The dude was great. Can't deny it anymore since he's retired. So I can actually say it now. Also Big Ben retired. So
Ben Roethlisberger. Yes, that is correct.
Big Ben Roethlisberger. So, you know, this coming up season should be kind of interesting, especially with those two teams. You know, going to be looking to fill those quarterback positions. I don't know how true it is, but I heard some rumblings about Aaron Rodgers going to the Steelers, and I was like, I don't really see that happening. But
So here's the, let me read this article really quickly for our listening and viewing audience. Electronic Arts Inc. And Lucasfilm Games are joining forces to continue delivering all new world-class gaming experiences set within the beloved Star Wars galaxy. Respawn Entertainment, best known for their work on Apex Legends, Titanfall, and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, is leading the development and production of these new projects. Vince Zampella, group GM and founder of Respawn, will oversee this new phase of EA's relationship with Lucasfilm, building on Respawn's award-winning history in game development and expertise in telling compelling Star Wars stories. So we know that, like I said, upcoming titles include next game in Star Wars Jedi franchise, a new Star Wars first-person shooter, and a strategy game via publishing collaboration between Respawn and BitReactor. So there isn't much here to really sink your teeth into aside from Fallen Order.
They're just like, hey, we got games coming, so...
But I definitely think that the fact that they're not saying Battlefront makes me think that the first-person shooter will not fall in that line. So to me, that's a good thing, because I was not happy with either of those last two. I'm as you know, and as we've discussed multiple times, neither of us are big fans of first-person shooters, but I am always interested in Star Wars games. Wait, when did
you become not a fan of first-person shooter? Because, like, GoldenEye was, like, your thing. Like,
well, yes, because I was so wildly, massively dominant. And so it was kind of like go out on top, right? Why if you're that dang good, why keep going?
Yeah, I guess.
So, no, I've played multiple first-person shooters since then. Counter-Strike was my jam for a long time in the early 2000s. But... I feel like they became way too much, way too everywhere, and I just got over it. So I'm definitely excited for some more Star Wars games, as long as they are good and continue to be good, kind of like in the vein of Fallen Order.
Stories need to be, that's where they just need to make sure that the stories are legit.
Yes. So going from one really good sounding game to one that I'm like, really, this is a game? War Hospital. I posted the trailer, the announcement trailer on our page earlier, and I watched it, and I'm like, this is a game?
Is it as bad as it sounds? Like, I didn't watch the trailer yet, but like it just sound, I was like, why would I even like it is it's like what was that? The old ER game? The old emergency room game where you had to do like surgeries and stuff?
So it sounds like it takes place during World War One.
Oh, World War One.
And you are, it sounds like, a field general running a hospital and have to make choices on who's going to get treatment. And I'm like, really? This is...
Oh, my God.
This is a game that people are going to want to play? I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of games out there that, you know, are blood and guts and stuff like that. But really, we're going to take World War One.
We're going to take modern. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take Modern Warfare. Or we'll take, whatever those games are called. We'll take those games and we'll put it back in time and we'll make them work in a hospital.
Yes, you're not actually going to go around shooting people or anything like that. You're not going to try and defeat the Nazis or anything like that. What we're going to actually have you do is go around the battlefield after the battle has happened and find people that are dying on the battlefield and try to save them. And you're going to have to triage, so you're going to have to decide who lives and dies.
And you'll have to run in between the people, so it's not like you can...
Yeah, there. I did find a brief gameplay video, and I need to go back and watch it again. This game was sounded so ridiculous that that's why we're talking about it, not because I'm interested.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I mean, like, I when I saw you posted the trailer, and I was like, nah, cool.
Yeah, I'm not actually interested in getting or playing this game. I am interested in it purely from what is wrong with people that this game made it this far.
They think they can make money on it. I think this will be in that this will be in that $5 bin in no time.
I hope so. I might check it out then. Okay, so now moving on to one of our as of late favorite topics, the fan favorite Book of Boba Fett. I don't want to pull up the image that I have for it just yet, because I gotta say, this last week's episode, by far, hands down, best episode so far. And I've said that, I think, the last two episodes. It just keeps getting better. And how does it get any better, James? How can you make this series so far any better? Can you tell me?
Yeah. Bring back Mando.
What? And make an entire episode pretty much about him.
It threw me because I was kind of like, wait, what? From the music, at the beginning, and throughout, this episode was a straight Mandalorian episode. This wasn't a Book of Boba Fett episode whatsoever. I mean,
Until the last 5 minutes or
until,
less.
like literally the last, like I think it was probably last, like you said, I think it was the last minute when
Then
Finnick
exchange shows
shows
up.
up. That
Yeah.
like other than that, it was that was an absolute full on Mandalorian episode.
And it was great. I enjoyed every minute of the episode. I thought it was fantastic getting to see him with the dark saber. It was great seeing him go back to his people and basically getting cast out. And we now likely know what season three of Mandalorian is going to be about. I'm guessing, going to have to go back to Mandalore.
And find that cave that they were talking about, or the
Yeah, that
spring.
probably don't exist anymore, but I'm thinking that's what's going to happen. I loved the reference to Grogu, that he wanted something forged for him. I just, man, the episode was so good, and I had completely forgotten that it was actually Book of Boba Fett until Fennec Shand showed up in the last couple minutes. Seeing Mando getting his new spacecraft, man, it was a great episode. I can't say enough about it.
I enjoyed this episode. Like I said, it threw me off a little bit because especially like when it started, when the episode started, I was like, all right, cool. And then like I expected it to go from that into, kind of something else. But it was it, like I said, it was an all Mandalorian episode. And from I should have realized that from the jump when the music, like I said, from the title and everything was all from the Mandalorian. And so I was like, okay, like when the episode ended, I was like, is he gonna like are we gonna see anybody from the current show? And then like we said, Fennec shows up at the end. So but overall, yeah, this is a great episode. Actually seeing him work with I can't remember the woman's name, but seeing him like help rebuild the ship. The what was that? The Star Cruisers
Naboo,
from Naboo.
did you happen to notice that when he was flying that vessel around on his first flight, that that was the same course from episode one with the pod racers? I thought that was a pretty cool callback as well.
Yeah, that's what I was like that path through was the exact one, which was like, oh, that's cool. I like that reference, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Now, I am very curious in television history if this is the first time that a titular character of a show is not in the episode. Boba Fett is not in the episode at all. I mean, I'd be curious just to look up, the history of television and see if that's ever happened. Was there ever an episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show that Dick Van Dyke wasn't in the episode? I highly doubt
Probably
it.
not.
Was
I'm
there
trying to
ever an
think.
episode of I Love Lucy where Lucy's not in the episode? I highly doubt it.
Yeah, I think there's some. I think there's some shows. I mean, there's I'm sure there's probably some shows that didn't have, like, well, a lot of shows in the 90s were family based. So like there was pretty much everybody was always kind of around. So,
I'm just
yeah.
saying, I think I think this might be the first time in television history, and I'm going to look into that, and I'll get an answer for us by next week. Because to me, that's crazy that, again, it was Book of Boba Fett for about a minute of the episode, maybe 2 minutes of the episode, but otherwise it was Mandalorian. And even then, that 1 or 2 minutes that it was Book of Boba Fett, Boba was nowhere around.
But the only part that I think he was in was the recap from...
I don't count that because that wasn't the episode.
Well, I know, I'm just saying, but I think that's the only part that he was in was the recap. And overall, it was a good ep. I enjoyed it. Once I finally realized, I was like, I mean, like I said, at the end, I was kind of like, oh, okay. But I mean, throughout, I enjoyed learning aspects of the Darksaber that, you know, in order to wield it, you must be worthy to wield it. And yes, it will get like, don't fight the saber, fight your opponent. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. I still think best episode of the series so far, and it just keeps getting better. And I am loving Book of Boba Fett. So
like I said, it was a Mandalorian episode. So what's not to love? I mean, the Mandalorian was a great series so far. And we know we got season 3 coming, and so, you know,
this was
exciting.
True that. So something I wanted to call out really quickly, because we do have a lot of friends and fans that are theater lovers and actors and whatnot, is a casting call went out just recently for Murphy's Inc. So I want to read through this really quick, because not everybody's watching. Some people are just listening, so I want to get them this information. Murphy's Inc. Is the title of an upcoming radio-type show. It's in the genre of comedy, heist, and original IP, intellectual property. The synopsis. Murphy's Inc. are a ragtag group of thieves with access to time travel. This is a non-union production. The length is going to be 6 episodes, 1 season to start, but it will be ongoing. So they are planning on doing more depending on how those first 6 episodes go. The recording is remote, so you can be anywhere. So anybody watching, listening to this is welcome to audition. Those auditions are coming up on the 5th and 6th of February. So just a few days from now. If you are interested in auditioning, you do need to contact radio.story.teller@gmail.com. Once again, that's radio.story.teller@gmail.com. Auditions will be held on Zoom and are scheduled on a first come, first serve basis. A link and sides will be sent a day or two before auditions. A good quality microphone and noise-free, echo-free recording space is recommended. Cell phones and built-in mics on laptops do not deliver broadcast quality sound. Webcams are not needed, as we are auditioning your voice only. So those of you out there that have done some voiceover work, here's an opportunity for you. Those of you that haven't, here's an opportunity for you if you're interested in trying something out. You know, worst case, you read some words off a piece of paper and you don't get cast. Best case, you could be in the next hot podcast. You never know. I'm interested. I've already submitted for me to audition. It sounds like fun. Ragtag group of thieves with access to time travel. And it's a comedy. That sounds right up my alley. So I am auditioning, and fingers crossed, I will, you know, hopefully get cast. I can tell you that there are some folks from the Secrets of Heritage House that are also involved in this production. I'm not sure how intimately they are involved. You know, I know that they're not writing it and stuff like that, but yeah. And speaking of Secrets of Heritage House, James, this coming up Sunday is the mid-season finale. So I don't know. I assume you've been keeping up to date. Yeah. So for you, you're a week behind, right?
I'm always like a week behind.
Have you ever thought about listening to the live broadcast through the KMVC website?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you can do that. You can definitely go to secretsofheritagehouse.com. You can go to kmvc.org and listen to the live broadcast when it airs. It's at 9 o'clock on Sunday. So the mid-season finale is this Sunday, which leads into a mid-season trilogy, which you are a part of. Also kind of fun to announce, I have gotten a little bit more involved with Secrets of Heritage House. I am now working on the backside and getting involved with some more of the production aspect of the show. So I'm getting a lot more insight to how the sausage is made, if you will, and what goes into that. So it's a lot of fun on my end. I've enjoyed my participation in this show, and I look forward to continuing to be involved with the show. So for those of you that are like, what is Secrets of Heritage House? It is it's a radio, an old time radio style podcast that it's a lot of fun. James, you're the fanboy. Please sell the folks on going and listening.
Listen, this is probably one of the greatest radio shows because at first I was kind of like, and then I got totally enveloped. So just allow yourself the time to just kind of just get enveloped in the world. You'll like some of the characters. You'll find the ones that you're like, boo, and the ones you're like, yeah, you know, like in everything. And so like this is, it's definitely it's a mystery all up and down. You know, like there's things that you think are going to happen and then, you know, they turn sideways real quick. So, yeah, I've enjoyed this show. Like I said, I listened to like the first two episodes almost back, or first two seasons, I'm sorry, like back to back, because like I said, I got so wrapped up and to the point where I actually caught up and I was like, dang, now I have to wait. So,
yeah, and to that point, we are in our third season of Secrets of Heritage House, and it is almost that halfway point of the series, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So please go back. You can find it on your favorite podcasting platform, just like you can find us. So yeah. give it a listen.
Give it a listen for sure, man. Like it's a lot of fun. I mean, and even if like you're driving, like I do. You know, like that's one of the ways I listened to it mostly when I was in the stores, like putting stuff on shelves. So it gave me, you know, I was just basically listening to stories, And then, you know, when I got in the car, I was able to listen to it as I was driving, you know. So I'm like, you know, there'd be like those moments, be like, oh, hell no. Like, so it's just a lot of fun. Just allow yourself to just get lost in the story.
Yeah, I agree. And one other thing I wanted to call out before we wrap up here is thank you to those of you that are following and have subscribed. We're up over 500 followers on Facebook.
All right.
Yeah, that's huge for us. You know, next stop, 1,000. Let's get there.
Get over to YouTube and do the same thing.
Yeah, please. you know, the 500 of you that are friends out there on Facebook, please subscribe on YouTube. We really need to get those subscriptions up so that we can, you know, really get some good prime placement for ads and stuff like that. So if you love the show, heck, even if you just like the show, follow, subscribe on Facebook. Heck, if you don't like the show, I don't care. You don't have to like the show. If you're friends of ours, do the right thing. Follow us. Subscribe, like, that's what friends are for. James, you got any closing thoughts?
No, man. I'm just gonna try and figure out what the heck's going on. I do apologize about my audio quality today. I'm trying to figure out what the heck's going on. I wasn't even able to log on to anything today, so luckily I had this and was able to use it to do it. So.
Perfect. Well, it's been real. It's been fun. Sure has not been real fun.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that one. All right, guys. See you next week.